Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast, or Kangs, depending on your vernacular. Well, Bears fans, we finally got our introduction of the new leaders of the organization, man. We had Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus, introductory press conference. And how I feel with press conferences, man, I mean, they're cool, but we got to wait to see what they do on the football field before we can cast judgment on our new hires and our new acquisitions, man. But so far, I like what they're saying, and mainly because the focus is on the offensive line and the defensive line, and we all know the game is won in the trenches.
Absolutely. And,
you know, so you got a little bit of hot takes. I've seen some sports writers. I want to say this too. The Bears have finally done something the right way, right? They hired the GM. They restructured the front office. Hired an assistant GM for the first time in Chicago Bear history, who then hired the coach. And yes, Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus had a connection prior to this whole hiring cycle. We can get into that later. And people are still upset. I'm happy. I'm willing to give these cats a chance. How y'all feeling about it, brother?
I'm on the same tip. You know, I'm willing to give these cats a chance. And what's crazy is that you're seeing individuals shooting them dead and counting them out before they even been given an opportunity to show you what they can bring to the table, which in most cases, when people do this, you know, it always turns out right. Right. Mm-hmm. People was gun ho on Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. They was all gun ho because Ryan Pace came from the Saints and Matt Nagy came from the Chiefs. And that shit was a blunder. It was absolute.
The booty!
Straight up. So, you know, there was no way for them to actually come back from that. You know what I'm saying? So it was a blunder. So anytime that, you know, I mean, perfect example, like when, let's say, when my man got hired in Buffalo, right? What's Buffalo's head coach name? I'm drawing a blank right now.
Sean McDermott,
right? When he got hired in Buffalo, Cass was thinking, oh, he'll be here today. He'll be fired in 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. And it worked out, right? And now, you know, he's a defensive coach. And now it's regarded as one of the best hires in recent time. All these offensive coaches, yeah, well, we went with an offensive coach before. You know what I'm saying? And that offensive coach was Matt Nagy. Again, I keep beating the drum. But look at all the other offensive coaches that were hired around the time Matt Nagy was hired. They're all fired. All of them. Mm-hmm. All of them. Only one coach remained, which was Sean McDermott. That was it. You know what I'm saying? And the thing is like, you need a head coach to be a head coach. You need your offensive coordinator to be an offensive coordinator. You need your defensive coordinator to be a defensive coordinator. You can't be a head coach and overlook the whole program and then still be an offensive coordinator / head coach. Somebody's missing something here. You know what I'm saying? And everybody is not going to get that full depth coaching and in-person coaching. So I like the fact that he stated out his own mouth that he's not going to be meddling in any affairs going on with the defense. He's going to worry about being a leader of men and managing his team. He'll let his coaches coach and he will do his job in leading his team. That's what I like. That's why I think it's going to work strongly in our favor, you know, with Poles and Flus. I like it, man. I like it.
Yeah, I'm along the same mindset as you guys, man. Just listening to the press conference and then doing, you know, the research on these guys and, you know, looking at their background and things like that. It's not a situation where I'm saying, hey, let me give them a chance. And I don't think Bears Twitter should be sitting here saying, yeah, let's give them a chance. No, they deserve a chance. Let's just be real about it. You know what I mean? So you give a chance to somebody who you know, who you think might not be worthy. You feel me? But at the end of the day, looking at what these guys have done in the football, you know, realm, pro, you know, pro football, they've been a part of winning organizations. They've put together a resume of you know, that's tough, that's good. So, you know, at the end of the day, that's what I like to see. You know, something that I took from the press conference, especially from Eberflus, even Poles as well. Poles jumped in there and he said, hey, you know, the offensive line, we gotta shore up the trenches. When I hear somebody talking about shoring up the trenches on both sides of the ball, to me, that's where you win football games, you know? So if he's going to give attention to detail in that regard, I think, you know, that bodes well for the future of the Chicago Bears. Him being an offensive lineman, he knows what it takes. He knows what you need to have. He knows the mentality that you have to play up there and be dominant. So, you know, maybe he can use that as motivation, you know what I mean, as well. And then Eberflus, you know, some of the same things that I was talking about. I wasn't high on just getting an offensive guru, one of these guys who were, you know, the offensive genius, you know, the names that were dropping out there. And the reason being is because none of them really stood out from one another to me. They all were okay. They were good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But you can't say, oh, he's Leftwich is better than Daboll. Daboll is better than mm-hmm. this one. You know, they was all, you know, just like kind of even trying to, you know. And so I'm looking at it and I'm saying, okay, well, I want a leader of men. He comes in with that attitude. Like you said, you know, he wants to be a leader of men, a motivator. You know, he leaves the play calling to those guys. And something that I've heard people say time and time again, but a lot of people don't live by this. You're not gonna know everything. But the most successful people surround themselves mm-hmm. with geniuses, surround themselves with people who know what they're doing. That way you can lean upon them people. If you need to, you can learn from those individuals as you go. So, you know, this is a guy who's saying, hey, I'm going to hire a coaching staff. I'm going to trust them to do their job. I'm going to be able to touch on everything because that's what a coach does. Mm-hmm. But I want to lead. I want to establish a locker room presence. I want to establish a mindset for the guys and discipline in this locker room. And to me, that goes a long way into being successful in the coaching. You know, a lot of people, they just look at the X's and O's. And the X's and O's are fine. I promise you they're fine. You need Jimmy and Joe's, and you need your coaches to be able to motivate and pull out. Because, you know, every player is not going to go in there and give 110%. But you got to have a coach that's able to draw that out of them. How do you go about doing that? How do you keep guys focused? You know, Phil Jackson was a savant at doing that. You know what I'm saying? Because he was able to level with anybody that he coached and really get them to produce. So, you know, I'm not saying this dude is on that level. We'll see. It remains to be seen. But he's talking a good game. You know what I mean? And from his acumen, from where he comes from, it looks good as well. One last thing that I wanted to say about it, too, is that, like you said, McDermott. He's a defensive coach, you know what I mean? But something that I heard Eberflus say, he's a defensive coach, and he said, look, if I don't draw plays or I'm not doing the offensive plays, that's fine. I'm going to be able to go in there and say, hey, Justin, this is what I notice in your game. If I'm a defensive coordinator, this is how I'm going to try to stop
you. You said that before.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah, we talked about that last week. And it's like, that's what a defensive coach can do. He can get with the offensive game planning and say, hey, I know what we do well, how we like to do things. This is what I would do to try to stop y'all. So, yeah, you want to have a guy who can draw plays, but at the same time, I think that's just as important to have somebody that knows the defense that can go in there and say, hey, you need to change this around if you think your offense is going to be good this week because this is what this defense is going to do to stop you. Mm-hmm. So. You know, I think that's real good, man. And he said that in the press conference. So, you know, I like that. I like
it. Could only work to his advantage.
Yeah, you just got to pick up on nuggets. Like you said, we don't know how any of this is going to work out. We hope it works out because we Bear fans, right? But I like that he came in and he already had a plan for Justin Fields, because we know Matt Nagy did not. So this man comes in, right? He comes in and he says, and this says something for me because he's a defensive coach, right? I slander this man a lot, right? But it's more or less for coaches and wins and losses, not his scheme. It's Kyle Shanahan. He said it, and I want to give props to his dad, Mike Shanahan, who invented the system. And probably Kubiak, who also is a main contributor to that current Shanahan system. He said, I want to put Justin Fields in this type of system. It's an outside zone run-based system. They play action off of the bootleg. I mean, bootleg off of that outside zone. It was a lot of what Mitch Trubisky was doing in 2020 when we had that success at the end of the season, him and David Montgomery. That's how we scored 30 points a game. They kind of bit it. And he had an idea of what he wanted to do with Justin Fields. And then he went and implemented it, because everybody's worried about that. Well, we got to worry about the offensive coaching staff. And we hired Getsy, who's a Matt LaFleur disciple, the quarterback's coach, who's a Kubiak disciple, the offensive line coach, who was Shanahan's offensive line coach in Atlanta. People are like, oh, he's an Atlanta offensive. Like, well, he was with Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta when they went to the Super Bowl. So these guys, all of them, you got to pay attention. These guys are all in the same system. So, and this is what you see was going on in Buffalo. They hired Brian Daboll. So guess what Buffalo did? They took Ken Dorsey. He's not an offensive coordinator. This is what you do when you're a good team. I see that he is creating a vision. Okay, Justin Fields is eventually going to take off. Getsy is probably going to get a head coaching spot in 2 or 3 years. It ain't going to be in one season like many Bear fans believe it. You know, it usually takes a couple of seasons, right? Right.
Well, yeah, it usually does. But if the Bears come out and they blast out a 14-3 record or something like that, you know, in 17 games, that attention to Getsy is going to turn dramatically.
Yeah, but 14-3 is crazy.
Right. I mean, look at the turnaround we had the year that Fangio. You know, when we Fangio, and then we had perfect example. Look at Matt Nagy's first year, 12-4. How many, you know what I'm saying? How many people was looking to pluck, you know what I'm saying, what we had that 12-4 year, and they plucked Fangio. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's capable. It's likely to happen, because we went from worst to first within a season.
Yeah, could. I don't, my expectations for the Bears aren't that high next year. I mean, I wouldn't say they low, but I'm not seeing like a double digit Super Bears.
Nah.
Super Bowl, Super Bears.
You know, unless they prove something different.
Yeah, they gotta prove it. I think they should. If you watch, like, I cut on a couple games from the Colts, right? Just watch their defense. They don't have as much talent as the Bears have.
At all.
Like, I can say that they don't. They don't have edge rushers at all, bro.
They don't.
Like, I don't know who those dudes are. They never get to the basket. They don't have Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack. But they play hard. They hustle to the ball. They fly to the ball. They rally. They try to get turnovers. Like, anytime a running back, like, goes on a five-yard run, you see an entire Colts team just swarm, like the Bears used to do. It reminded me of, like, you know, how we used to play. And that's what I like. And I'm trying to say, hey, if he can get these guys to play that hard, you know, we should be able to do that for our whole team. But we got to see, right?
Yeah.
You know, some of these cats might not buy in, right? Some of these cats have been Hollywood.
Yeah, facts. And if they don't buy in, they ass is grass, because I don't think he's going to keep them on the roster just because they're a name. You know, I wonder what Eddie Jackson is feeling right now. I wonder what Jermaine Ifedi is feeling right now.
Oh, he cut.
Especially after those remarks were made by Paul. Especially after those remarks were made by Poles. You know what I'm saying? As he was like, hey, and I think that really he was pointing a finger to Ifedi with that when he made that comment. And he was like, you know, if I don't see you helping your quarterback up, if I don't see you going back to help him up, or if I don't see you, you know, you fighting for him, you know what I'm saying? When guys come and they get cheap shots on them or whatever, what that or whatnot, there's no place for that on this team. And I'm pretty sure Fetty seen that and was like, like, he's singling me out? Like, yeah, dog, he talking about your ass.
And for the fans, you know what I mean? You got to listen to what Pole said, too. It's not just, he didn't just say, be a tough guy out there.
Right.
You know, run around and try to physical, you know, be physical with somebody, punch somebody in the mouth. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, you know, have some backbone, have some fortitude.
Right.
You know what I mean? A team will go into a game. Every single team goes into a game, and they want to establish the identity of that game. They want to impose their will on that game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're a defense, you want to say, hey, we're going to put pressure on the quarterback. We're going to rough you up this game. We're going to knock you down. Now, if you go overboard doing that, then it's the offense's job, the offensive lineman's responsibility to go back and say, no, we're not having that this game. Because you're not going, you know, if your quarterback take too many hits, you know, cheap shots, whatever you want to call them, at the end of the day, you're going to get hurt. And that's what Pohl said. He said, it's not a matter of being, you know, I got to be a tough guy out here. It's a matter of, no, we're not going to let you just do whatever you want to do out here.
Absolutely, because those hits take a toll. They build up over the over a game, over a season. That's why Justin was out with nagging injuries, because all them extra hits he was taking when he, you know, nobody was establishing that base, you know what I'm saying, that foundation. Nobody was establishing that. And when the young man did try to establish that, you got a Fetty, you know, over there doing whatever. Now, granted, I did hear – I get it. You know what I'm saying? I did hear on the opposite end, maybe a Fetty didn't see the cheap shot on Justin Fields and then turned around and seen, you know, all he saw was Tevin Jenkins fighting.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So he didn't see the cheap shot or whatever. He didn't know what happened. All he saw was Tevin. It's quite possible.
That don't even matter.
It don't because you back your teammates.
Because he went off hard. You know what I mean? Like, if you just want to grab him and pull him up, like, hey, young boy, chill. He was like, hitting his shoulder pads, yelling at him.
Get over there. You know what I mean? Come on.
Like, bro, who are you?
Facts.
Bro, you out here getting beat like a dog.
Damn!
Your entire NFL career.
Yeah. Getting your ass like, whooped.
Tevin Jenkins was hurt on the sideline watching all year Justin Fields get popped. And he said this when he got drafted. He's like, you're not going to hit my quarterback late.
Mm-mm. And he meant that.
We're going to
fight. And he meant
that. That's what you mean. And even Justin Fields said, I like that he stood up for me. And that was Justin Fields sending a message to his offensive line.
Yeah, right. Do something. Shit, stand up for me, goddammit. Yeah.
Like I rewatched it again. I'm like, we gave Cody Whitehair a lot of crap. Cody Whitehair at least ran to go help him up, and then he came to help Tevin Jenkins and push the motherfucker.
Right.
Where the rest of them cats at? I'm like, I'm looking at the tape like, who I'm cutting? Who I'm not paying?
All those who didn't run over there. All those who didn't run over there to help or combat. If I'm Ryan Poles, I'm playing that tape. And I'm pointing it to every single one who didn't help. And then after that, I'm screaming,
Get the fuck out of here.
You got to go.
Hey, bro.
You got to go.
I might even sign Damir Bird as a wide receiver six. He snuck in a punch.
Yeah, he did. Little ass coming over the top, sneaking somebody. Little ass.
Jump over somebody's back and land a blow, bro. You know, give me some fight or something.
Yeah, have some balls about yourself, man.
Right.
You know? Pull your skirt down, B. Do something, man. You can't be out here going out like that, man. Like Willie Lump Lump.
Willie Lump Lump. Can't go out like Willie Lump Lump.
Can't go out like Willie Lump Lump.
So we got the confirmation, right? Ned said this a while ago. So props to Nostradamus. We going to a 4-3.
Give it up. I knew I seen it coming. And the reason why I seen it coming was basically because of Roquan Smith being an undersized middle linebacker in the NFL. He's too small for it. So he would be better served as an outside, an outside Will linebacker, you know what I'm saying, or Sam. But more so a Will linebacker, you know what I'm saying, the same thing that our beloved double nickel Lance Briggs played, you know what I'm saying, and let him go crazy. Look, if y'all think that Michael Parsons – it has put on a show in the position that he's in, you know what I'm saying, as the outside linebacker. And imagine this. Imagine on one side of the line, right, you have Khalil Mack. On the other side of the line, you have Robert Quinn. But now, in that 4-3, you have stacked outside of either Robert Quinn or Khalil Mack, you have Roquan Smith with a free run at the quarterback. So you got to get it out in two or three steps, tops. There's no more patting the ball, because he's going to come to get you and make serious impact plays. It would not shock me if Roquan Smith don't lead the NFL in sacks next year.
No.
I'm telling you, what I'm saying is from the outside linebacker spot. Listen, Micah Parsons was all pro off of his sacks this season and turnovers that he forced. I would not be surprised if Roquan Smith is turned loose in that same parameter.
I still feel like Michael Parsons is not, to me, is not the correct. To me, it's not the best comparison to what Roquan could be. I think Roquan could be like Briggs, Briggs didn't rack up a ton of sacks, you know what I mean, in this system. Micah Parsons is a person that they're using all over the place. They rush him from the middle, from the edge. They put him with his hand in the dirt. He stands up on the edge. You know, he stands up in the middle. I mean, that's not going to be what Roquan does, in my opinion. I could be wrong, but I think Micah Parsons is a different type of dude. He's like a Lawrence Taylor. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to rushing the passer, I don't think Roquan is that guy. I think Roquan is good, and he'll be able to shoot gaps. He'll be able to blitz. You know what I mean? But as far as just rushing the quarterback, that ain't Heck nah.
I'm looking at
But he got some speed though. He'll be able to get in there on them blitzes though. Straight
yeah,
up.
I think Roquan is gonna play that Darius Leonard role. Leonard actually had like 7 that. Sacks his rookie year, but he tailed off after that. 7, 5, 3, 9. Because that's what Leonard plays in that.
Yeah, it'd just be good to see. Yeah, it'd definitely be good to see Roquan making more impact plays. And he will have a ton of impact plays moving forward in this 4-3 style defense rather than doing what he was doing before and just getting washed. It was that Vikings game, and I see him get washed 60 yards down the field.
Yeah.
Literally.
He's not big. He's 6'1", 220?
6'1", 229,
man.
Yep. Like Roquan is so good that he could transcend scheme. So, like, you know, I'm like, yeah, he could play it, but it might not be his best position. And the caveat to that is people are worried about the Mike linebacker. There's no Urlacher available, right? He's a generational talent. That's why he's in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
A guy who played the Mike for the Indianapolis Colts prior to, I think they had a Corey K now, was Anthony Walker. He's a free agent. You know, this guy, he's a space eater. He was in the middle. He's racking up 120 tackles with the Mike linebacker, mm-hmm. Mike Eberflus. So that's another name.
That could be a possible signing of the Bears.
Yeah. And also people like, you think about connections. Strong safety. We need a big, strong safety. Malik Hooker.
Definitely.
Yep.
Play for Eberflus. These guys are probably would come on 2-year deal. So just start looking at names like that, because Eberflus said the key components to this defense are the 3 technique. We don't know if Lyle Nichols is coming back. Maybe he can play that. There might be a draft person or a free. I don't know who's on the free agent that's a 3 tech.
Mm-hmm.
The wheel linebacker, who I assume Roquan Smith is going to play, what he's going to play, and the nickel cornerback. And we don't really – I mean, Thomas Graham might be that. I don't know if they want to put him on the outside. I don't know if they want to put him on the inside. Those are 3 positions that Matt Eberflus says are vital. And we know this because we Bear fans, right? The ones of us who've been around for the Lovey era.
Right.
Those 3 positions. Lovey used to coach the nickel position personally.
Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked in the draft if the Bears went after Kobe Bryant. Cornerback out of Cincinnati. Long, rangy, good cover corner. You know, it's a lot like Jalen Johnson. It's a lot like Jalen Johnson.
Anthony Walker's only 26 too. That's not bad.
Yeah.
You can just put him in middle linebacker. And you know, the Sam linebacker, I think they play nickel 70% of the time. So the Sam linebacker is only getting out that 30% because they pull the Sam out and keep the Mike and the Will on the field.
Yep. So I wouldn't be shocked, man. I wouldn't be shocked, depending on who they go after. I wouldn't be shocked if they grabbed a young boy, the safety from Penn State, that wears number 1. I can't think of his name right now. The boy is 6'1", 200 pounds, and is a thumper.
Oh, yeah.
He is a thumper. He is another Adrian Amos. Mm. You know, he's another Adrian Amos. You know, he can play anywhere on the field. He play linebacker. He can play, you know, he can come down and be that strong safety, stop the run. But he is a thumper. 6'1". 200 plus, you know what I'm saying? The boy is he's an athletic freak, man. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears went after him and they trade. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears traded back into the second round and obtained more picks so they can get, you know, so they can have 2 to 3 picks in the top 100 of the draft draft 3 difference makers to come in and make an immediate day one impact, like a wide receiver, a safety, and a corner. I wouldn't be shocked.
Poles ain't Pace.
Exactly.
People got to remember, like, Pace would trade up a lot. Like, guys like this from Kansas City, they believe in having a gang of picks. So it wouldn't shock me if these guys trade guys for, like, you know, guys they're probably going to cut for 6-round draft picks.
Yep.
You know, just to acquire picks, man.
Tariq Cohen.
Yep. If somebody trade for him.
You know what I'm saying? Trade him to the Saints. They were saying, you hear the rumor that Eric Bieniemy is the supposed to be the new head coach of the Saints now.
Should be.
We'll see.
Well, they doing? They probably gonna hire that dude Dennis Allen though.
Yeah, we'll Damn. See. We'll see.
This like Leftwich was supposed to be the coach.
Well, he withdrew. He withdrew his.
Oh yeah, because of balls.
He withdrew. Yeah, because he didn't get along with the owner, so he was like, "Nah, I'm good. Y'all go ahead handle that." And that's when they went after Doug Peterson. He must have knew, like, y'all ain't finna set me up for failure. Fuck that. I'm out of here. Like, nah, you know, I'm good.
He's in Kansas City.
Facts.
Like, he's in a good spot, bro. Like, where you gonna leave that? You coaching Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid up there. You competing for championships. You can go out there and get your head beat in.
Man, look.
Exactly.
But, yeah, I definitely see the Bears making some draft day moves. You know what I'm saying? Again, we're going to hear a lot of bullshit. Moving forward, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, man, it's about to get that, what you call it, Will? Silly
it's silly season. It's already silly season, bro. People talking about trading David Montgomery for draft capital.
Yeah, I know, right?
Hey, whether or not he get paid or not, I don't know. He maybe will, he maybe won't, but you're going to trade him. That, like, bro, you don't have that much offensive talent. I don't get Bears fans.
When they do that, that's all you can do is, Brody, look, niggas be wildin'. Straight up. Straight up. But the funny thing is, though, I really got to get this out. And I know we at the top. We still at the top of the show, but I really got to get this out. Vikings fans and Vikings fans, you deserve a big whole heaping.
Yeah, we got to get on there.
The purple pussy eaters. That's what y'all get man.
I told y'all
how this was going to end. I told you how this was going to end. And y'all was beating y'all chest about 3 days ago. Beating your chest, running around, swearing up and down about how, you know, oh, it hurts, doesn't it? Oh, Justin Fields is going to be, Justin Fields isn't going to be all that. He's going to be a bust in another 2 years and this, that, and the third. Meanwhile, you thinking you got your coach of the mill, Harbaugh and Quasi Adolfo, whatever the Adobo, whatever the hell his name is. But, you know, y'all wanted to pair him together and, oh, this is so great. And Jim Harbaugh, he's going to lead us and we're going to take over the North, baby. Eh. And then at the end, Jim Harbaugh was like, joke's on you, motherfucker.
I'm out.
Joke's on you.
Turned around.
Turned it all the way around. Do you think he was going to go to Minnesota on y'all, dumbass? That's what I kept telling people. This man has Bear blood pumping through his body. Through and through. He don't identify with nobody else but the Chicago Bears. And he played for quite a few teams. He played for the Colts. He played for who else?
Yeah, some successful with the Colts too.
Yeah, exactly. Went to the AFC Championship game and was one Johnny Dawkins catch away from going to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Against the San Diego Chargers. One Johnny Dawkins catch away. Oh no, not the San Diego Chargers. It was against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Was one Johnny Dawkins catch away, and actually the ball came down and hit him in the lap. And then rolled on the ground on a Hail Mary. So he was one Johnny Dawkins grab away from going to the Super Bowl. And he still identifies himself.
To the AFC Championship.
Was it to the AFC Championship or to the Super Bowl?
I don't know.
Because I think that game was the AFC Championship. Was the Steelers against the Colts.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Might have been, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so he was a drop pass away from making it to the Super Bowl. And he still identifies himself as a Chicago Bear. So you think he would go and join the rival? That's like him leaving Michigan and then saying, I'm going to go coach at Ohio State. Yeah, the fuck not. It's not happening, okay? It's not. So I don't know what in y'all wild-ass mind made y'all believe that he was going to Minnesota and lead y'all to do exactly nothing. All he did was waste your time, let all the coaches go ahead and get their feel on where they was going, and he fucked y'all over. He spent you, right? It's what females do to simps all the time. In Minnesota Vikings, y'all are the simps. Y'all got spent, man. Flat out. So let it wash over you. I know you. And then the funny thing is that they trying to spin it like, oh,
yeah,
we turned down Jim Harbaugh. He did. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here, man.
I was like, yo, I was smoking crack.
Yo,
bro.
When I heard, hey, we turned down Jim Harbaugh.
Get the fuck
fuck we didn't make no offer and all that.
Stop it.
Bro, they wouldn't even done with the interview.
Stop it.
He did the first set of interviews. They went on a break. And he was like, nah, I'm good.
That was it. Like, nah, this ain't going to work.
You ain't even done with the interview. He quit on your ass mid-interview, dude.
Mid-interview. Told him, get the fuck on. That was the funny part.
The only team that he would have went to is Chicago. That's what I really believe.
Maybe the Raiders, because he got his first coaching. That's it.
Maybe.
That was funny. That was just too funny to me.
It was.
And now the Vikings sound like a woman scorned and shit. I didn't want that motherfucker anyway. Fuck him. He ain't shit. Like, well, don't be mad now, because he didn't choose you.
You got all the Vikings fans, they going back and deleting tweets.
Oh, man, they doing everything, man. They doing the most.
Before they had Jim Harbaugh in a Viking shirt and hat.
Oh, man. Announce it. Come on, announce it.
Everybody watching their Twitter right now.
They're trying to scrub it clean.
15,000 podcasts saying that they wanted Jim Harbaugh as soon as he got hired. We didn't want him anyway. Like, bro, you got 15 podcasts saying you want him.
Bogue. You out here looking bogue, man. Y'all out here bad. Vikings fans, y'all out here bad. All the way bad.
On top of it, you got Kirk Cousins out there.
With that shitty ass deal.
Y'all seen the clip of Kirk Cousins trying to throw the ball through the...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and the little skills challenge.
Yeah. Kirk Cousins. You are...
You missing the booty!
You straight ass, blood. Straight up.
On the one throw, he missed the whole wall, dog.
Like Mitch Trubisky did. He pulled a Mitch Trubisky. Remember that year Mitch made it and missed the whole damn wall? Like, damn, bro.
Mike Evans, 6'5", couldn't even catch the ball.
Yeah, like, damn. Vertical leap.
Good. No, bro, he got his cap hit $45 million.
Ain't nobody trading for that bullshit.
Hey, negative $12 million in the red. You thought he was about to go to Minnesota? Minnesota?
Funny news and notes, though, you know, with the Packers being how many million dollars in the red?
40.
40?
They're 40 right now?
Yeah.
It's about to go up, too, ain't it?
Yeah. Once the new league year hit, I think they'd be up to, what, 58 million in the red? You can't keep Aaron Rodgers.
Devontae Adams is 70 million in the red, something like that.
Yeah, they got it. Just to tag Devontae, right? They got to clear $70 million.
Damn.
Just to tag him.
Just to tag.
And then when you tag him, you're going to be right back at the you're going to be broke again.
Damn.
Yeah, they cutting Z. They cutting both the Smurf brothers. They cutting Amos.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to be cutting a lot of motherfuckers. So it may be a possibility. Amos. Yeah, it may be a possibility he can come back.
Nah, bump that nigga. He talked way too much trash for me, bro.
Yeah, he did. He didn't even win a ring. That's what your bitch ass get.
I used to like Adrian Amos. I don't mess with that nigga no more, bro. I'm sorry.
Bruh, hey, that's funny as hell, though, because he really thought he was going to get him a ring when he went over there, though, didn't he? Yeah, he seriously thought he was going to get a ring. And each year, motherfucker, y'all got progressively worse.
And my thing is, okay, if you bitter, I don't have no problem with somebody getting the franchise back.
Right.
If upper management or ownership did you dirty some way, shape, or form, I'm cool with it. But when you start, you know, trashing the fans and talking trash, you know what I mean? Nah, bro. Yeah. I can't fool with you no more.
Yeah,
so Adrian Amos, if he asked to come back, I'd be like, nah.
You know that's what he's gonna try to do.
Yeah,
with his bitch ass.
He's 30 years old too, so he's gonna be like,
"Yeah, get your old ass out of here, nigga."
Like, hey man, what's up, man? How you doing now? Nah, you washed up now. We don't want you. You good? Probably gonna follow. I don't know. Probably go with Vic Fangio. One of Vic Fangio disciples goes. Who knows, dude? I don't care. The whole thing burned, though. That, like, I do not care, dude.
Hey, for those who that Kyle Fuller shit, I told y'all he wasn't shit. Told y'all. Yeah.
I hope he just goes.
Told y'all about Kyle Fuller. He went there and went to fucking Denver and rode the pine and only played because motherfuckers got hurt. Then when they got back healthy, get your ass back on the bench. Got drove.
No. Yeah, well, you got to think. You got Flus in here now, so you're dealing with a different regime. He has a certain type of player he has in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to bring in his type of guys with the guys that's already here. So
mm-hmm.
On defense, you know, so. He knows what kind of guys, what kind of players he wants. That's going to be the interesting part, man. also, I want to, we talked about the 4-3, but the offense, Luke Getsy.
Yes, sir. Right?
Everybody's leaving Green Bay Packers, which is a shame. They lost. They lost Nate Hackett. They lost the tight ends coach. We took the quarterback coach. They just losing everybody, bro. They about to lose their whole team, lose their fan ownership too. So we got
Suffer Biatch.
We got Luke Getsy. He's bringing in all these guys to run the outside zone scheme. He has yet to speak to the Bears fandom. But my thing with him is that people are nutting up that he hasn't called offensive plays. Bro, the Denver Broncos and the now Minnesota Vikings, what they retarded as, have just signed coaches, hired coaches to call plays who have never called plays. We have an OC that never called plays. I don't know how I can say this, bro. I said this a lot of times. I don't put that much stock into these guys, these play callers. Look at Shanahan. Shanahan's a good play caller.
Right.
How many times have he crapped the bed in big games, right? In the Super Bowl.
Right.
Kind of did it versus the Rams, even though he usually beats the Rams. The play callers, to me, are a dime a dozen. You got to have good players. You got to have a quarterback. You got to have good skill positions. You got to have good offensive lines.
Right.
Some of these players make these play callers look good. People were talking about Zach Taylor for the Bengals. Mm. You know why he looks so good? He has a dude named Joe Burrow.
And you want to know why Joe Burrow looks so good? It's because he has Jamar Chase out there. Exactly. And he had
T. Higgins
and Uzma. And Uzma and Tyler Boyd. He has weapons.
And Mixon.
And
Joe Mixon.
He has weapons.
That's why offense looks so good. Yes. And people think it's just like this play caller sitting up there. Just everybody in the NFL run the same concept.
And
might call a flat curl is a flat curl. Yeah. Right. A crossing route is a crossing route.
And everybody want to talk about how the Bears are depleted of talent. This is the same Cincinnati Bengals who ass we whooped.
Yeah.
Let's not get that mistaken, folks. We ain't that far off. We're not that far off. A tweak here and a tweak there. Even though we just said earlier our expectations ain't high, it's because we're not expecting much. But let's not get it fooled and get it misconstrued or get it twisted. This motherfucking team can go to the Super Bowl if they want it to. If everything goes right and Justin emerges the way he should. If Justin emerges the way he said, we run the ball with a two-headed monster with Montgomery and with Khalil Herbert. We use the tight end like we supposed to, and we surround Justin with weapons. We'll be in the NFC Championship at least. That's just how the fuck I feel about it.
Boy, they're optimistic. I don't know about that. I mean, but I wouldn't be mad at it. I wouldn't be mad at it, not at all.
But, I'm just saying, because look at the...
You're right about the fact that we're not far off. And that's what was so frustrating about this past year.
Yes.
Is that the Bears are easily a playoff team. They could have easily made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But, you got the coaching staff and the leadership that really jacked up this whole season. And it messed it up. And I was saying that from the beginning, bro. Like, they're going to mess up the season for these players. People are going to quit on them. The locker room is going to be lost. You know, this stuff will come out a couple years from now, a few years from now. You'll hear people talking about it the same way old boy was talking about what happened with McDaniels in Denver, right? That story is now put out there. It was on I Am Athlete with Brandon Marshall and Ocho Cinco and them. And you got the story of, man, we was rolling at 7-0, and it was because we was cheating. We wasn't good. We was cheating. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He said that. That's what he said. Damn, you know, it's like, you know, the stories will come out, man. And you'll see this dude, man. He said, we got set back with Mitch Trubisky, but he set us back as well.
Big time.
Yeah, he did. His offensive stuff, to be an offensive coach, to just run sticks and hitches and curls was crazy, dude. It was insane. Like, I never seen anything like that. Like, wide receivers running in the same spot. He wasn't running crossing routes. It was like, I had never seen anything like that. He got worse as a coach.
It's so complex. It's so complicated.
Remember the video you posted a couple, maybe last week?
Yeah.
And it was Justin Fields. You said this was probably one of the best throws Justin Fields made all year. It was an out pattern. He threw that out. It was to Allen Robinson. On the side, right?
But and, it was another receiver right in the damn way. Like, in the
same area, bro. Like, you, how do you run two routes?
Double outs, one at 15, one at 18.
But they started on, you know, they didn't start that close together. They started, like, there was no reason for them to be that close together.
Right.
But that's the way you ran your routes. And I'm like, when you posted, I was like, yeah, sure. That was a great throw, but yeah, Nagy called the play and was like, "Yeah, let's see if we can make this window even tighter."
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously, dog,
that shit was crazy. That's funny.
It's crazy. This is like, I don't even know. Like I remember that one route he had Anthony Miller running, that kind of crosser, and he was always open and Mitch would miss him. He stopped even calling that.
Yeah,
like, I don't remember seeing that route anymore, and it was working. I have no idea, man. I'm just glad he's gone. I don't even
did y'all see that that podcast with Brandon Marshall? Not Brandon Marshall.
Allen Robinson. Yeah, he's like, I wasn't even getting I wasn't getting crossing routes. I wasn't getting nothing anymore.
Allen Robinson
anymore.
Said he played 17 games, and
he didn't win one crossing route.
Didn't run not one the whole season. How does that happen?
I saw Devontae Adams run, bro.
How does that happen? You didn't run one the whole year? 17? That's crazy, bro.
How many slants did he run? We never slants. How many times did he run slants?
Hitches, curls.
You, like a guy like Ira Robb, that's his route. You can't stop him. That's what he's good at. Short
possession receiver, bro.
He gets that slant. He's big. He catches the ball and shoots you from the. We never ran slants.
Like your boy down there in New Orleans. That's what they call boy. Him. Mr. You know, Mr. Slant.
Slant boy. And we slant never ran slants. Yeah.
That's all he runs.
It's amazing, dude. So, like, that's my take on the offensive coordinator thing. I mean, if you get a halfway competent offensive coordinator in here and get Justin Fields' number one reps, like, and then we can go talk on that, too, the interview that Justin Fields did. Everybody was talking about, well, polls and flus didn't give him an endorsement. Twitter's burning down. And then they say, oh, here's Justin Fields. Just to come out and talk to him. So they're telling you right there he's the QB1. They wanted him to tell you. Right, it does not benefit the head coach and the GM right now to give over the top praise for Justin Fields just yet. Right, it doesn't benefit because it puts too much pressure on.
Facts.
Right, you tell him, oh, he's the greatest quarterback that ever lived, and he's the reason why we came here. He's the sole reason why we came here. So when he has a game and he struggles, guess what the media is going to say? Well, you said this guy was the most amazing man, like they did with Nagy. Oh, we're going to 202. Mitch is going to be taking off. He got Lewis Riddick out here running around talking about
Maserati
Mitch ready to be a Pro Bowler. He's ready to be an All-Pro, and then he comes out and flops, and then guess what you do? You
turn more off. Like Gremlin Mitch, Pinto Mitch, Yugo Mitch.
Mitsubishi Mitch.
Oh, God.
But it doesn't benefit them to gas him up. But, like, I like what Justin Fields said. He said that, you know, he's going to be the leader from the beginning. Mm-hmm. He's no longer playing the rookie role. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not confused on who's leader. Is Andy the leader 1 week? I'm the leader. He's going to get the first team reps starting now.
You heard what he said, though. He was like, it was kind of weird. He was like, last year was weird. Like,
yeah.
I didn't know what was going on. It was just weird. This is your quarterback saying that this. You know what I'm saying? Like, last year was weird. It was weird. Like, damn. For real?
Oh, man.
Damn
shit. It was, though.
Weird as fuck.
It's crazy.
It was. I was at the L.A. Rams game, and he was just standing on the sideline. Holding his... Come in for a play. Come out.
Man, I went to the Lions game. He didn't play. I went to the Giants game. He didn't play.
Yeah.
I'm pissed off, you know, man.
We all went all the games that we went to.
He didn't play. He didn't play.
It's like Matt
Nagy. Like, fuck y'all, Kings. Fuck the three Kings. I ain't playing his ass. I don't give a fuck if you coming with watch or not. He ain't playing now. All that shit y'all talked about me. Fuck y'all. Make sure his ass don't play. Like, you bastard.
Oh, man. He scored that touchdown. Even Lions, bro, I was in L.A. Even Rams fans were like, why ain't he playing Justin Fields?
That's what everybody wanted to see. That's what everybody wanted to see. I guarantee the Bears be marquee TV next year, too. And I guarantee within that first week, we're going to be on primetime week one. I guarantee it. we'll be on primetime, whether it be the Sunday Sunday's game of the week, or it's going to be Monday Night Football. It's going to be some, or Thursday Night Football, but we are going to be primetime week one. People want to see what Justin Fields is going to bring to the table. And he didn't disappoint when he played on Monday Night Football against the damn Steelers. He didn't disappoint at all.
I wanted to bring this up, too. I saw an infographic, right, showing, like, it said the future is bright for the new QBs. They had Justin Herbert, AFC, Pat Mahomes, AFC, Lamar Jackson, AFC, Josh Allen, AFC, Joe Burrow, AFC. The NFC is wide open. The GOAT, Tom Brady.
Gone. Retired.
It's a great possibility that Aaron Rodgers may be shipped to the AFC.
Yeah.
If
your man's out there, Shanahan and Frisco don't get his hands on him. Because Green Bay desperate right now. The cupboard is bare. And everybody was like, I don't think they'll trade him to an NFC team. Look, man, they don't give a fuck at this point. They know they rebuilding. They know they ain't no championships coming no time soon.
Right.
They could care less.
Yeah, them all.
How much you really gonna win with Jordan Love? You know what I'm saying? Like, how much you really gonna win?
We about to find out. Yeah, Frisco don't have the picks. They traded all they blew their load for Trey Lance.
But you know, we said the same thing about the Rams too. They ain't got no picks. Oh, the motherfuckers will find some picks from somewhere.
You need ones.
You know, hey. The Rams had how many plethora of ones the Rams gave away?
Nah, I don't know. One in 20, 30.
You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you. That's what the tip they gonna be on. Like, look, we gonna give you this hot ass 2025 first rounder. Give you 2026 first rounder. And I'm telling you, Green Bay a bite because they need motherfuckers to come off them books.
But I'm telling you, like, the Tennessee Titans, they gonna be in play.
Yep.
Because think about it.
Oh, my God. Tannehill, bro. He shat the bed worse than Garoppolo. Shat means past tense shit. We say shat.
I'm Tennessee right now. I'm saying, hey, you can probably get Tannehill off your book. Somebody will trade for him, like Jimmy G. He's one of that. Or maybe Green Bay will take him because they don't like Jordan Love and they just need a bridge quarterback. Give you two first right now.
What the fuck made them think that Jordan Love was the guy, though? That's what cracks me up still to this day.
Look at the Steelers, too.
Yeah. They lost Big Ben. They need a quarterback.
So, yeah, they got a good defense, good weapons. You know what I mean? All of it's there. They got their first round pick.
Yeah.
And you the Green Bay Packers. You need cap space. You need draft picks because you about to rebuild. And the NFC is wide open. Russell Wilson don't want to be in Seattle.
He might fuck around and go to New York for real.
Yeah.
Him and Sierra.
The NFC is wide
open. Like butt cheeks. Wide open.
The NFC might be in play, man. So you might have some little ground there, man. It's kind of weak.
Yeah.
Kind of weak. You got the Cardinals.
Yeah.
The Rams are probably still good at the 49ers.
But the Rams ain't no good, man. Look. Everybody that's smoking the Matthew Stafford blunt and drinking the Matthew Stafford Kool-Aid, let me tell you something, okay? This motherfucker gave the game away in the fourth quarter, okay?
He tried to.
And what's that motherfucker name? Tart?
Jaquiski. Yeah. Jaquiski Tart.
Tart. No thumbs, having ass. He intercepts that ball.
Hands, fingers like popsicle sticks.
Yeah, he intercepts that ball. Everybody was saying, well, we don't know. San Francisco could have went 3-and-out. Yeah, but San Francisco also could have ran the ball down their damn throat and put that much pressure onto Matthew Stafford. You see what I'm saying? And made it do what it did. And made it do what it do. I'm just saying.
That reminds me when that Fuller dropped that pick on Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, right, my God.
Right before he went down to score that touchdown.
Yeah. He would have got that pick. Oh, my God. But, so Matthew Stafford did his best to get that game up. You think he don't get down? And let me tell you something, folks. This Cincinnati team ain't scared of the Rams. They just popped the Kansas City Chiefs, okay, which is the most known foe and nemesis of the AFC. Been the AFC's representative the last 3 years, am I not mistaken? Two, 3 years?
Yeah, they've
been the four straight
AFC championships.
AFC championship games.
And they just
popped two Super Bowls.
Yeah, and they just popped the Kansas City Chiefs. You think they worried about a Matthew Stafford led Rams? You serious? If you think that defense was flawed with the Rams before, because the Rams, what they try to do is try to bull rush and let's get pressure. You run the ball at the Rams, you control that whole defensive line. And then you only got one Jalen Ramsey. I'm sorry to tell you, Los Angeles, but your defensive backs are shit outside of Jalen Ramsey. You only have one of those. You only have one of those. Who's going to – yeah.
And they linebackers are weak, too.
Yeah. Who's going to cover – I mean, you could put Jalen Ramsey on Ja'Marr Chase. Okay. That's cute. Who's going to cover T. Higgins?
Tyler Boyd.
Who's going to cover Tyler Boyd? Who's going to cover Uzma? Uzma or – who's going to cover that? Uzama. Who's going to cover that? Not to mention mixing out the backfield. Who's covering that? You're going to have your hands full. That's why I'm picking the Cincinnati Bengals. Flat out. Them boys, look, everybody, oh, it's the big stage. These motherfuckers is fresh off a national championship.
I don't think you can use the big stage. The thing with,
not
the,
with that.
After what just happened with Kansas City, that was the biggest stage.
Yeah, not with that.
Like, yeah, I was telling that dude, that was Kansas City's a juggernaut, bro. Mm-hmm. Like you just said, how many AFC championships they went to? Two Super Bowls, won one, lost one. They would have went to one that MVP Mahomes year, but they gave
Brady.
Like they won the Bennett. They won the overtime rules. Well, the first year Mahomes came in, that happened to him with mm-hmm. Tom Brady. People forget that.
Yep.
Tom Brady got the ball back, scored. That was it for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Ball game.
Yeah, ball game. You know, so, and that's the only reason why they lost. Like, the Bills lost because Tom Brady got the ball last and they lost.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. these dudes are a juggernaut. Like, an offensive, just generational, you know. And they beat them. Like you said, that probably was the best. That was a team to beat, mm-hmm. you know. So, I ain't ready to make my prediction yet, man.
But the Bears ain't far off, baby. They not far off. I'm telling you. Y'all see what I'm talking about. All I say, you'll thank me tomorrow. But the Bears ain't far off. Ain't that
far
off.
Look at the defense. It starts at the defense, right? The defense got all the pieces, right? Mm-hmm. You need a couple pieces here and there. Not a lot, just a couple.
Yeah.
And you can get back to being a top five unit.
Yeah. Speaking of top five, what the fuck was my man thinking? Talking about Sean Desai, who led the Bears to a top 10 defense last season. What? Where?
He's using analytics, bro.
Where? Like, what are you picking? One specific stat?
That's the problem, man. It's you know, guys are these statisticians, the analytics, the PFFs of the world, the fantasy football, they've run roughshod, man, and they kind of control that narrative, you know? So you got to really look at a game. People don't even watch games no more like that, you know what I mean? They'll watch a game, they'll sit down and watch a game here or there, but for the most part, people just look at the stats and say, oh, this dude did this, he did that. It's like, yeah, but did you watch the game? Did you really see how that defense played? How they walked up and down the field on them? You know what I mean? You know, and that's the problem. That's the problem that people don't see.
Facts.
You know?
Yeah. And you can't, like, he was doing the bend don't break thing. The thing about the bend don't break thing, which I'm telling you, that's going to be, actually, it's probably going to be Eberflus's biggest criticism because it's a cover two type of defense, zone. You got to get takeaways. And the Bears weren't getting takeaways.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we were doing a bend, don't break, but we weren't getting takeaways. And eventually, if you're not getting takeaways, you start breaking.
Yeah.
Because that's how you break it.
But see, that's the premise of it. That's what their defense is made of. Rob Marinelli, Lovie Smith, mm-hmm. where he comes from, that's the essence of what they are. Mm-hmm. Take away the ball. We preach takeaways. We practice taking the ball away. You know what I mean? We make bets on it. You know what I mean? Things like that. When you do that, now your team is more successful. Yeah, you can have that bend but don't break. But do you bend and just push them out of bounds? Make them go down. Touch them when they're down. You know what I mean? Things like that. And then try to stiffen in the end zone. No, the Bears were predicated, and they have been for a long time, on taking the ball away, turning the ball over. If you could do that, if you can get turnovers, you can run the ball and control the line of scrimmage, you win games, period.
Yeah, it's football. Yeah. People try to make football some complicated sport a lot of times. I mean, it can be a chess match, but at the end of the day, that's what it's about. It's about imposing your will on another man. You know, and stats don't show that. You know, and that's the thing, man. And to go back to that is that I liked the Bears have an identity. And I asked the question, what was our identity under Matt Nagy? It was trick plays on offense and the Vic Fangio defense. Well, Vic Fangio left a long time ago, and we were still running this defense. So it was a trick play offense that didn't work and trying to run Vic Fangio's defense.
Right.
With another offensive defensive coordinator like you did with Mel Tucker. And then we wonder why we never were the same. We never were top three unit anymore.
Facts.
You know, because we didn't have an identity. We were lost in the wilderness. Yeah. You know, at least we know we have an identity now, man. And that's a beautiful thing. And I'm pretty sure that's why George McCaskey and even probably Ryan Poles, who was a Bear in training camp and saw Tillman and Briggs and Urlacher and Rod Marinelli and all these guys coaching the defense, said, that's our identity, man. As a team, as an organization, you need to have an identity, right? And it's okay if your identity is we're a strong defensive team. We're going to run the ball. We're going to bootleg. That's fine. You can still win in the NFL like that. People get caught up in the NFL and whatever the new trend is, right? Oh, we can throw the ball 50 times. We don't got to run it. They ain't the only way you can win, you know?
Facts.
The Bengals shut down the Kansas City Chiefs. They scored 3 points in the second half. That was defense.
All the way.
People ignore all that and get caught up just in the quarterbacks. No, you still need to play defense to win in the NFL. That's the reason why the Bengals won, because that defense held Pat Mahomes 3 points and allowed Joe Burrow to lead a comeback. If they didn't stop Pat Mahomes, they would have never came back.
Absolutely.
I love seeing it because it just reminds people every now and then that, yeah, you can have that offense, man, but if you can't stop nobody, you'll be walking around here like the Cowboys. You know what I mean? Remember? Now, not this past year because their defense was off the chain this year, but the previous years, I mean, the Cowboys lost games where they was, you know, 51-50.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can score 45 points and lose the game. That's not good. You know what I mean? You got to be able to stop somebody at some point. So it just reminds people of that. I think it's a good thing, man. I think the Bears are on to something with these new dudes, with these new guys that they brought in. And it's not only the head coach and the GM, but you look at the staff that he's putting together, defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, you know what I mean, the wide receiver coach. These guys that are coming in, they got some acumen. They got some, you know what I mean, they got some stuff. You know, they've done some things. So, you know, he's putting together a good staff of coaches that's going to be able to draw some talent out of guys and teach them techniques and things. That's what we need, man.
So let's pose the question this week. We're going to open up the phone lines. Do Bears fans believe in Poles and Flus? And that's the question that we're asking. You know what I'm saying? Call us up at 586-745-0512. That's the Three Kings podcast calling in live to the show. Do you believe in Flus and Poles as a Bears fan heading into this new season? That's our question that we posing. Call us up at 586-745-0512. That's real. That's real. Because it don't get no realer than that. It don't get no realer than that.
We put that out on the main tweet so everybody should. The Three Kings.
That's straight up, because I mean,
I'll send it back out too. I'll retweet it out too.
Okay,
definitely, yeah. Man. That's a good question though. You know, while we wait for them calls, man, what do y'all think about the whole situation with Flores?
Oh man,
yeah. Go ahead, Nez.
Woo, man! It just goes to show that good old boys club. That good old boys club, you know what I'm saying? That good old boys club. So, you know, it just is what it is. You know what I'm saying? You can't shape it. You can't turn it no other way. You know, it just is what it is. And just to see that, you know, how everything was just disheartening and sickening to the point where it's just, they just going through the motions, man. They really not even giving these guys an opportunity. They just going through the damn motions.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
And that's the biggest thing, man. You know, the whole Rooney Rule was put in place for people to get into a room that you normally wouldn't have gotten into. You know what I mean? And to get an opportunity. And they've taken that rule and made it a formality to the point where it's not a matter of getting in that room and getting the opportunity. Now they just get in there to check mark that box, you know, to just say, yeah, we did it. We did our, you know what I mean? We did what we were asked to do, you know, and that's it. They don't have no real opportunity unless you go above and beyond or you wow them in some way, shape or form. And that's messed up, man. It's just a messed up process because you would think that people would have the benefit of the doubt and they would get an opportunity to at least a real legitimate shot. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, that whole situation with Flores is crazy, man. And I thought the funniest thing about it was, and we talked about it a little bit when we opened up that space the other day, me and DeVore did. Roy, you wasn't there on that one, but, you know, the whole situation with Belichick sending the text message, you know, he's text messaging the guy.
Yeah, it's a damn, my bad.
He's text messaging the black Brian instead of the white Brian.
Yeah, so, oh, damn. He was like, damn, I fucked that up. He was like, oh, damn, I fucked up. My bad. BB.
But, you know, the Giants, they came back and they talked about, yeah, we took these diligent notes and blah, blah, blah. We did give him an opportunity and this, that, and the third. But I'm just going to ask you this question. When the Giants say that, and they, you know, they adamant that, yeah, we did this, they even gave a whole rundown, basically. If you look at their statement, they gave a rundown of how the, you know, how the whole interaction went. To me, that seems like they was covering their base. And all that was Bill Belichick went back to them and said, hey, man, I let the cat out the bag. My bad, y'all. Y'all gonna have to, you know, just to let y'all know, he knows that he ain't really being considered, you know? So now they go back and they do their situation and try to act like they'll, you know, pull a rug over somebody's eyes and stuff like that. So, you know, it is what it is, man. What? We knew that this was happening. We know it happens constantly. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Every single year. But it's just being exposed right now.
Well, the NFL kind of does it to themselves, right, in my opinion. Like, we know the NFL is 75%. And I hate even talking about this, right? This is the part that people don't really understand. They think we like talking about this crap. We don't. It's exhausting, right? The NFL is 75% African-American players. We got one head coach in the NFL. One head coach that's black. This is Mike Tomlin. Right. So you say, like, what's the probability of that from a statistical standpoint? Like, that would be the equivalent of, you know, how many black NHL players, water polo players, and then you got 99.9% of all the water polo player coaches are white when you only got like 1%. You get what I'm saying? It's like you telling me that these people that play the game, these are college educated men, by the way, so you can't pull the whole, they're smart.
Right.
Everybody in the NFL has attended college.
Right.
Vast majority.
3 years.
3 years at minimum. So yeah. Most of them have degrees. Some of them have advanced degrees. These are some brilliant people. Listen to Lewis Riddick talk. I know we had beef with Lewis Riddick, but he's articulate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Listen to Mike Singletary talk.
Yep.
Listen to all these gentlemen talk. These aren't dummies, man.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not getting opportunities. And then you say, well, they weren't the best man for the job. Was Adam Gase the best man for the job? He got back-to-back jobs.
Well, he's sitting there looking at butterflies in the press conference.
Tweaking.
Big time.
Tweaking on something.
Yeah. On meth, coke, on speedballing. He's speedballing. Right? You know? And so you can't even say that. How many Joe Judge? Yeah. Was he the best man for the job?
Probably not.
No. He wasn't the best man for the job. And so, you know, black coaches get the right to get hired and fired just like everybody else. They get fired because they bad. Okay, fine. They bad. Fire them.
Right.
You know, we ain't saying, you know, don't get fired because you ain't bad. But, I mean, Jesus Christ, man. Dude's, you know, dude's not even getting the opportunity. And that's the thing with me, man. It's that if the NFL had maybe 10 African American coaches. You know, out of 32, you know, which third, is still not
just a third. 33% would be cool. You know,
you might have a leg to stand on, and it's just exhausting, man.
Yeah.
To keep talking about this stuff over and over, but this is what needs to be done in order to get to.
It's another wrinkle too that went into it. It's not just the you know, the black thing. It's the throwing games thing. You know, yeah. Stephen Ross down there in Miami. Man. You know, you offered a guy $100,000 per game that he throws. What? Okay. So check this out though. You already, you know, you got this one, probably one opportunity. You know what I mean? Most black coaches don't get two or three opportunities like Adam Gase does or McDaniels does. You know what I mean? You can't go rehab your career in Alabama like some of these guys have done and then come back and start coaching again. So, you know, you get this one opportunity and your owner comes to you and says, why don't you throw these games and I'll give you $100,000 per game. But the whole time that goes on your record. So the next time, if you do want another job, what do they look at?
Your record.
Look what he did.
Right.
Miami, you was 2-14 that year. What happened?
Facts.
Well, I threw some games. No, you didn't throw no games. You was trash.
Facts. You got a caller. We got a caller right here calling in out of LaGrange, Illinois. Hey, I think it's from LaGrange, Illinois. Something like that. I think we on standby with the gentleman. Okay. Get us patched in real quick. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I think we lost the call there.
Lost it?
Yeah, we may have lost it.
We lost it. Bears right. Just hired James Rohl as the new cornerback coach for the Chicago Bears. He was the cornerback coach in Indianapolis.
Mm.
Okay.
Dude, he's taking the whole coaching staff with him.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Nagy ain't.
It just seemed, you know, Nagy ain't had nothing going, you know what I'm saying? But it is what it is. But yo, you rocking with the Three Kings. State your name, where you from?
Yo, what up? Mike Rob 84 from Chicago.
What's up?
Man, good podcast, fellas. I know I'll be rocking with you guys on the Bears Twitter and everything. I hollered my man Dan earlier today. But yeah, man, I just wanted to call in and check in real quick, man. Y'all doing big things, man. I appreciate what your brother's doing, man.
Hey, no doubt, man. So tell us, do you believe in Eberflus and polls?
You know what? I do. And you know what, though? It's like every time we go through a regime change, it's always the same joint where you're going to have 95% of meatball fans that be like, oh, they're going to criticize everything. But honestly, we don't know until they get out there and show us what they got. You know what I mean? So it's like... Mm-hmm. I do got faith in it. I like the fact that we got an assistant GM with my man Cunningham. And I like what Eberflus is talking about and his staff he's assembling. So I got faith in him. You know what I'm saying? We all got to wait and see what happens, how it all play out. But right now, I'm 100% positive. And, you know, I'm going to bear down regardless. But, yeah, I got faith in this regime right here.
That's what's up.
Yes,
as
sir.
We all do. Appreciate the call in, brother. Keep calling in.
Hey, no doubt. Y'all keep doing your thing, man.
Thank you.
One love.
All right, one love. Take it easy, bro.
Be safe out there.
Yeah, he's right, though. That's the thing. You all got to give these cats a chance. Because, like, think about, like, I know some people don't remember when Lovey came in. He was a defensive guy. You know, he came from didn't he come from the Rams because he came from Tampa first, and then he went to the Rams, ran the cover two. We didn't know if he was going to be good. He went to Super Bowl one. You know, he was the last coach that we won in the playoffs with. You know, we don't know. He wasn't the first-time head coach.
Right.
You know, he came in. He said the same thing, kind of like what Poles came in. He said, "We're going to run and we're going to take the North and never get it back." Lovey came in and said, "Our goal is to beat Green Bay," and they had Brett Favre at the time, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is 2004. Brett Favre was already there, and he came in with the Hall of Fame quarterback and said, "We're going to beat them." Right. So you never know how this is going to work out. You know, and hopefully. What you try to listen for is the right things. And you know, we got caught up in the fluff with Nagy, you know, the bells and whistles. And now I was paying attention to the meat and potatoes of it. What is your goal? I want fast, physical, violent players. I want to instill discipline.
Yeah.
That's football.
Yep.
Those of you who play sports, understand that's the foundation. Cute and fluffy and unicorns and rainbows, it's fine. It's cool. But you still got to have the meat and potatoes.
Facts.
Yep. Fast, physical.
Yeah. Fast and physical, man.
He said something else in that press conference, too, where he said getting to the ball, gang tackling. Mm-hmm. You don't see that. If you look at the Bears, you don't see gang tackling the last several years. You know what I mean? You see other teams, like you said earlier, you look at Indianapolis and how they play, everybody gets to the ball. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to get to the ball, get a hit on somebody. And you got to play like that, man. You got to play like that. You got to force teams into turnovers. You know what I mean? Instead of just allowing them to, you know, make a mistake. No, force them to make a mistake.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you gotta force them in there. That's what Lovey called it. He didn't say it. We don't call them takeovers. We call them turnovers. He said, we don't call them turnovers. We call them takeaways.
Yeah.
We take the ball away. Once we take the ball away, we're looking to score.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, man. Yeah. So, I'm good with it, man. All we can do is wait and see what they do. I like what they're doing. Like, the Minnesota Vikings just now hired their head coach. The Jags just hired their head coach. We're assembling a staff.
Yeah.
Offensive and defensive.
Yeah.
You know, we just hired James Rowe from the Indianapolis coach, cornerbacks coach. You know, we're assembling the staffs. The teams are still out here trying to figure out a head coach. Who mm-hmm. don't have it? The Saints don't have a head coach. Who else don't have a head coach? The Texans.
I think it's still like what, four? No, it might be three jobs now, right? Two just got filled.
Yeah, I think the Jags just signed.
Might be three left still.
Dougie P. Teach me how to Dougie.
Straight up. So yeah, we got that on the ones and twos. It's so hard to try to decipher on what's going on here, you know, far as with everything that's happening with the squad and whatnot. But I think we got another call here from Illinois. Yo, you. Oh, okay. Let me see. This thing is giving us the flux today, man. Let's see here. Yeah, it's giving us the flux today, but it's all good. We'll get the kinks worked out.
Yeah.
Think we got it right here. Let's see. We lost the last caller. We about to get this one back up and going here. Let's see what we got. Hopefully he pick up. Yeah, he did pick up. All right. Yo, you on the Three Kings. State your name. Where you from?
What's up, man? It's LB Papa, man. I'm from the west side of Chicago, man. How y'all doing?
What's happening?
What's side?
Man. Yes, sir. Man.
So do you believe? We appreciate that, man. So let us know how you feel, man. Do you believe in the new regime of Flus and
Poles? Yeah, man, I do, man. I do believe in the new regime, man. Poles, I like his confidence, you know what I'm saying? I like how he had Flus's back, you know, in the interview with Podcast was like, you know, and did you have the time to do a proper research? And you know what I'm saying? Was it a force? He said, yeah, I picked the right guy with Flus. So I really like the connection those two have. And I really think they're going to really build a team from the inside out. So I'm really excited about that for real.
No, that's what's up.
Yes, sir.
Before you go, drop your Twitter handle, man. Let Cass know who you is.
I got it's LB Sports Panel. That's what my show. I know I follow Wheels, 79 Wheels. So you want to follow me, LB Sports Panel.
All right, LB Sports Panel. We appreciate the call in, brother.
Appreciate you, man. Right, good point.
Thank you.
All right. Definitely plug him in. Y'all take it easy.
You know, that was a good point you made too, man.
Yeah, that was definitely a good call. That was a good call there, man. You know,
because it was just when you look at what it's hard. It's hard for me because you want to give people the benefit of the doubt, and Bears fans are so pessimistic sometimes that they go overboard with their criticisms of individuals. You know, whatever it is, and I'm looking at Poles and Eberflus. I thought the press conference was good. Some people walked away from it like, oh, he was, you know, he had an attitude. He didn't know how to talk well or whatever. You know what I mean? Saying this about Poles.
Oh, God.
And it's like, to me, I'm looking at it and I was like, I just, I enjoyed the one part where the dudes, you know, he asked the question, you know, you didn't get to, would you have liked to bring some more people in here? Or basically they trying to spin it that he was told to hire this guy, hire Eberflus or whatever. And he said, pose in a direct manner, matter of fact, I did have that opportunity and I found this guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You know what I mean? And it was matter of fact. And I like that because it puts the media in this place. Like, dog, I know what you're doing. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to belittle the situation that we got going on. And to me, that's unnecessary. It's uncalled for, especially in the first press conference, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a lot of people don't understand. Like, they don't understand the connections these guys have. Like, and I think I told it, so said it last time. Eberflus and Poles have the same agent, Trace Armstrong, who was rumored to possibly be the Bears president.
Right.
We starting to hire guys. Well, these guys already had a connection. I guess the Colts played the Chiefs a couple years ago, and the defense shut Kansas City down.
Right.
And that sparked Poles to say, who is this guy running this defense? He reached out through the agent, contacted Eberflus. So they talked years ago.
Right.
These guys are hard. These guys have aspirations. These guys are, like, especially if you're squared away like Ryan Poles is and Eberflus is, they already got a short list of guys who they want as their head coaches.
Right.
They already had a connection. They had a connection through Trace Armstrong. They also had a connection through Chris Ballard. So by the time he sat down and had the interview, they sat in. They already knew that their philosophies were similar. So he sat down and heard them talk. He was like, yeah, this is the guy. And people say, well, you should interview more people. I'm going to remind you, Arnish Karnashovas for the Chicago Bulls interviewed Mark Eversley, and he knew right away, this is my GM.
This is him.
He said he watched Lance Dance, and he said, hey, we got to get this done, bro. I need you as my GM. Hired him right there. This is the same thing. You know when you know. They already kind of had a similar wavelength like us. Like, you put us together on the podcast, it didn't take much thought, did it?
Because exactly.
We already revived it.
We knew what was happening, yeah.
We're like, yeah, cool. That works out.
To the name, to the aforementioned that will go unnamed, that's one of the good things that he did do was put us three together.
Yeah.
For damn sure.
He was already like, yeah, well, I rock with both of them brothers. Yeah. Like, boom, the rest is history.
Facts.
Same thing.
So, same thing. You know, ain't nothing new. Ain't nothing new under the sun, baby.
And the Bears, you know, you got to look at it like this, too. You know, when you have a team, when you say you got a team and you got this quarterback and you're trying to decide who's going to start, you got three different quarterbacks standing there, and, oh, I can go either way and blah, blah, blah. If you got three, you ain't got one.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? And the same thing is with the coaching. If you can't figure out who you want to be your coach after several interviews, after, you know what I mean, somebody should stand out to you for what you want to do with your team.
Facts.
And if that doesn't happen, all of the candidates are trash. I'm just going to be real with you. You know what I'm saying?
Just like dating, you come across a young lady, a young man, and they exactly what you want. Height, weight, size, education level, the conversation. You're like, well, shit, you're going to be like, oh, no, I'm just keep. Nah, this is it right here. I'm good. Yeah. I done came up.
Right.
You know, that's how it is in real life, man. These dudes already talk, bro. So when people say, oh, they just stuck them together, I'm like, That's meatball stuff. We're not meatball people over here, man. We look at the deeper the deeper connections. You know, we'll tell you they had a connection through Ballard. They had a connection through Trace Armstrong. They already talked years ago prior to this interview. This wasn't some just happenstance. And they asked him who he wanted.
Yeah.
And he had Eberflus on his list.
Yeah. Yeah. He did.
You know?
And that speaks to what we talked about a little bit last week too. When we think about, you know, these guys and they have connections to different organizations, different coaches,
right.
You know what I mean? Stuff like that. That goes a long way, man.
We got a call in from Houston, Texas. Yo, you rocking with the Three Kings. State your name. Where you from?
My name is Cooks. I be on Twitter with y'all. I'm the Wolf Sports man. So
That's what's up. Cooks, what's happening, baby? What's happening, baby?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm here. Space is calling you the Woke one all
I'm
the time.
I'm at work, man. Computer's down. So I give a couple minutes to come in and show some love.
Okay, okay. So tell us, man, you know, what's your thoughts, man? How do you feel about, do you believe in flus and polls heading into this season?
The way I look at it is, if we was in a rebuild and we didn't have a guy at quarterback, this would make sense, right?
Mm.
But my thing is this, right? If you're bringing in a 36-year-old GM, first-time GM, you're bringing in a first-time head coach, defensive head coach, first-time OC and play caller, first-time the QB coach only has 1 year actually being a QB coach, and you got a first-time DC. Just running the odds, just probability, bro. Something is going to be terrible, and it's going to drag everything else down. And that's not even me being pessimistic, right?
But just off of everybody having their first, everybody having a first crack at everything. So you're saying that you're basically what you're saying is that with everybody being a first in everything, that's gonna something along the line is gonna be terribly awful, and it's gonna drag down the whole entire regime.
Yes, in my opinion.
Okay.
Because the chances of this all being successful all at once is extremely low. You know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to just stay realistic, and I'm trying to stay, level-headed with it all, man. Right now, I'll be honest with you. Here are my thoughts on the whole situation, man. Blues, I think he is a leader of men. I see why he got the job. He's a football guy. He's rah-rah. I can appreciate all of those traits. But the thing with that right now is like, is that what the team needed? Because if we look at the pattern of head coaches that they've been getting, it's like the flip-flop back and forth. This is on par with what the Bears have been doing. When they get a friendly OC type of coach or get an offensive guy that didn't really work out, then they go real disciplined. Then, okay, well, that didn't really work out either. Offense sucks still. Then you go get an offensive guy. And it's back and forth. So I don't really have a reason why I should kind of be optimistic about it. And my point about them being first time at this, it's like, hey, look, any coach you hire is going to be risky, period. But
yeah,
at least with some experience, you kind
of
have a floor. At least if we had a Caldwell, he may not be a McVay, but I know, hey, he going to get us 9-10 wins, right?
Okay.
Because if he can do it with Detroit, I know he can get that. He can get a lot out of field. I know he can get a lot out of this team because we have pieces in place already. Personally, I would have wanted an offensive guy just from what I see. All the teams in the NFC playoffs were offensive. The past three Super Bowl matchups have been between offensive people, and the three teams in the AFC, the two that made it actually were offensive coaches. So I wanted that for my quarterback, because if he doesn't hit, the rest of the team really is not about to matter, because we've seen guys with great defenses. Flores, you don't get the quarterback right, you're getting up out of there. You're not going to make the playoffs. We've seen the coach. You have a run game. You got the defense. The quarterback messed up, you're not winning it, man. And I didn't see too much. We should have invested to make sure this kid is a superstar. Because if he's a superstar, hey, he can get us 10, 11 wins if he have a solid base around him. But now I'm a little worried. I think he could be great still, but I just don't know if Getsy in the 1 year QB coach can really get that up out of him, man.
All right. Okay. Okay. We respect it. All right. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you get difference of opinions, you know what I'm saying, everywhere you go. You know what I'm saying? So I can't knock his opinion. You know what I'm saying? I can't knock it because it comes
most
with. It's a first everything. So that is a possibility. You know what I'm saying? That is a definite possibility on what's going on here. You know what I'm saying? And what we're facing and what we're seeing. I mean, you know, I wish we could have talked more, but the phone lines is burning up. We got another caller in from Gary, Indiana. State your name and where you from.
What's going on, guys? This is Nick calling back from Hulbert, Indiana.
Nick, what's happening, Nick? So our question is, do you believe in the Eberflus and Poles regime going into the season?
Oh, absolutely. And I feel like the people who have done their research should be on board. I mean, Poles has already shown it when he was in Kansas City. I remember last week I addressed it, too, with the whole offensive line. And then what I really liked this week when he came out and basically called out the offensive line. And I remember, and I want to say Will, you posted a thing too during that Vikings game when Tevin Jenkins actually got in their faces, and then here came a Fetty being an idiot. Like, I wanted a Fetty off my team right then and there. I was screaming at the TV. And, you know, like, he wants toughness. Like, and too many times we've seen Justin get knocked down in his offensive line just standing around. Like, what the hell are you doing? Like, I'm sure you guys, just like me, I was yelling at the TV, what the hell are you doing? Help your quarterback up, block for him. What the hell?
Yep.
And then, as for Eberflus, I mean, so I have, you know, being in Northwest Indiana, it's basically Bears and Colts. So I have friends who are Colts fans, and they're basically telling me, like, this is a sleeper hire. Like, it's not getting enough attention. I mean, just what he has done with his defense with only one superstar player, how he just commands a room. He's a player's coach. You know, it kind of feels like in some ways it's like the Lovie Smith again, and I'm okay with that.
All right. Well, we appreciate the call, man. No doubt.
Appreciate it.
The thing is that, you know,
We don't know. That's the
thing. That's the great unknown is the unknown.
Yeah, that's the exciting part of it too. Because Lovie Smith was a first time head coach. You know, Kyle Shanahan was a first time head coach. McVay was a first time head. At some point, Andy Reid was a first time head coach.
You got to start somewhere.
At this time, man, you got a situation where most coaches are first time head coaches now. Mm-hmm. There are not many coaches that are getting a second or third or fourth opportunity because they want to move to the youngest of the young, the bright new minds.
That's why they hired Caldwell.
Exactly. That's why they ain't want Caldwell. You know what I mean? That's why. So, you know, you're getting a situation where you're going to have these new younger guys coming in. What I would say, you know, to the woke sports fan, because he mentioned it too. And I appreciate his point, man, because that's a legitimate concern, right? You know, if everybody's new, it was everybody training on the job. Bro, these dudes been around the league for years. You know what I'm saying? Eberflus, he was around with Marinelli, with Lovie Smith. He been around this for 14, 15 years. So you got to pick up stuff on the way to becoming a coach. This dude's 51 years old. He's now becoming a head coach. What else do you want? You know what I'm saying? You can't have the experience and youth. You're going to have one or the other.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I look at guys and who they were around. Were they in an organization? Poles, he comes from Kansas City. Been with an organization that been to the AFC Championship game 4 straight years. You had to have picked up some gems that the guys left behind, right?
Came up under Ozzie Newsome.
Fast.
Ozzie Newsome. Exactly.
Won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Won a Super Bowl in Philadelphia.
Exactly.
These guys, like you said, Eberflus, he's been preparing to be a head coach. He got an article in Athletic where he talks about this. He's been preparing to be a head coach 20-some years.
Yeah.
20 years, and he got passed over because guys are picking offensive guys. The thing about it is, and we all agreed on this, we wanted the best head coach regardless of position. Now, I know the offensive guru thing is hype, but what happens when an offensive guru like Matt Nagy, he gets figured out? What does he do? You can't leave men. You have no idea, you know, on the other side of the ball, and they figure you out, and now you're done, you know. So just be open minded, fans, man. We ain't gonna know how these guys will work out until 3-4 years from now, right? So we got to give them that 3-4 years. We got to give them that time and let them do their thing, and that's it, man. I ain't even got a trash tweet of the week. We already running a little bit late.
Yeah, I ain't got one.
We're all the trash tweets for you next week, though.
We'll definitely have one next week. All the Vikings fans, piss off.
Other than that, man, we out.
Y'all take it easy now.